From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, building consents, are we building? Is there a trend?
I think so. Good. So we've got this kind of weird countdown to Christmas now, don't we, where we've only got a couple of weeks before we enter the sort of twilight zone for business, which usually lasts for late December and most of January. So data in this next couple of weeks, I think, is quite important. Sort of sets the scene for that period. And I've been keeping a cheeky little eye on building consents, Mike, because there has been a modest improvement going on for the last 3 months, and data released yesterday supports that improving trend. Just before you get all excited, though, you need to sort of curb your enthusiasm, because the quantum of the increase isn't large, but it is improving. It's just not improving at a great rate or not. So you had 35,552 new homes consented in the year ended October 2025. That's up 6.2% on a similar period last year. The key observation here is that confidence seems to have returned into that higher density space. So that space, we're talking townhouses, units, apartments, that's been lagging in terms of the trend consents for standalone homes. That looks like it's turned around a bit. So we're looking to the year, to the end of October 25, you had just under 15,500 townhouses consented. That's up almost 10%. 2,649 apartments. Now that's up 54% on the previous year, but by its very nature, it's sort of lumpy. The one that's interesting here is retirement home consents. They're down 30%. I think that's going to be problematic at some point, because we're not building these things when we do get a bit of a switch in the residential property sector, yeah, and people start to want to sell their houses and move into the retirement villages. There's not going to be any stock, but that's probably a story for later next year. Standalone consents only up 1.9%. So it seems to me there's been a bit of a psychological shift here. And here we go, Mike, Auckland. Auckland's leading the charge on those multi-unit ones. It accounts for half the lift in the multi-unit consent. So, yep, I'm confident calling an upward trend is in place. Assume we'll still get month-on-month volatility. The October month, 3,520. That's 23.5% more than October 24. Just to sort of put this very quickly into context, though, we've done, what, just under 36,000 consents in these 12 months. If you go back to the boom time, to October 22, you're looking at over 50,000 consents. So there's been a significant step down. Just a quick note on non-residential, there was $8.9 billion worth of consents issued in that space. That's down 4.7%, okay, compared to October 24. So that sector not feeling the love yet.
Right, the Fed. Is Hassett the man?
Well, it looked like it. These are so lots of rumours floating around. And the interesting thing in the background here, Mike, is we've had this shift. US monetary policy, between US monetary policy and New Zealand monetary policy here, because they're all sort of talking about being a bit more dovish in the US now, whereas we are talking about being a bit more hawkish through 2026. Now, there's lots of rumours circulating about the replacement of Jerome Powell in the last 24 hours. This is a very important announcement. This is the head of the most important central bank in the world. Rumours suggest that Trump has selected Kevin Hassett. He is currently director of the National Economic Council. He was a Trump appointee. He's previously been senior advisor on economics to the president. He's got a PhD in economics from the University of Pennsylvania. He has worked in both the George W. Bush and Clinton administrations. Most importantly, he is seen as being a policy dove. He will tend to favour looser monetary policy. The thing here, Mike, is that if Trump announces this guy now, Powell's term ends in May 26, but this guy effectively becomes the governor, and everybody is more interested in what he's saying than in what Powell is saying. Just one other point. Right now, if he does become that, you've sort of got an environment in the economy there where the economic growth is slowing a little bit, weakening employment figures, inflation is kind of contained. That supports the cause for a lower Fed funds rate. It becomes problematic if inflation pressures start resurfacing, because you've got a guy that actually wants to take it the other way. So that will be fascinating to see how that pans out.
Interesting times. Numbers, please.
Sure. Now, manufacturing ISM survey overnight was quite weak in the States. They've started the week in a softer tone. 47,461 on the Dow Jones. That's down 255 points, just over 0.5%. The S&P 500, 6834, which is down 0.2%. And the Nasdaq sitting at 23,307, down 58 points, about 0.25%. Overnight, the FTSE 100 lost 0.19, 9702. The Nikkei was down 1.89%. Yesterday, that's 950 points. 49,303. The Shanghai Composite was up 25 points. That's 0.65%. 3914. Now the Aussies had a bit of a mare on the ASX yesterday. They had problems putting announcements out in that vein, and we had shades of stuff that happened a year ago when they also had similar issues. The ASX 200, 8565, is down 49 points, 0.57%. The NZX 50 lost 0.3%, 13,448. Kiwi dollar continues to hold up above 57 cents, 0.5735 against the US, 0.8750 against the Aussie, 0.4934 euro against the pound, we're 0.4335. Japanese yen, 89.06. Bitcoin's having a bit of a shocker. It's down 5 or 6,000 US dollars. Gold, 4,226 an ounce. And Brent crude, 63 US dollars a barrel.
Catch up tomorrow, Mike. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.